Welcome to Vital Voices. Our guest today is Willa Johnson. She is a native of Letcher County, Kentucky, and the founder of an organization called Worthy Ground, a storytelling project dedicated to documenting disasters and recovery in the Central Appalachian region. In 2022, floodwaters swept away Willa Johnson's home and all her possessions. Through her documentary filmmaking, she shares stories of resilience and recovery all across eastern Kentucky. Willa Johnson, thank you for joining us today for Vital Voices.
Hi, Fred. Thank you for having me today.
First of all, tell me about the mission of Worthy Ground and how you came up with that particular name.
So I'm based here out of East Kentucky and have spent my entire career working around Appalachian issues that impact Central Appalachia specifically. And often what I have found in this work is that people will ask us the question, well, why do you stay here? And that can feel really insulting when you get that question, because we see so much of the beauty and the value and the strength in this region, and there's a reason why we choose to stay. And when we were trying to name the project, I wanted to name it something that showcased the worth in the community. And so we were sort of playing around with words and phrases, and a colleague of mine said, worthy, and then we came up with Worthy Ground. And as soon as we said it out loud, we were like, that's it. Like, we are not defending why we are here. We are telling you how proud we are to be from here. The goal of the project is, as a storyteller and a media maker in the region, natural disasters have sort of always shaped, and climate disasters have sort of always shaped my life and my career and even my young life. In the last 5 years in particular, we just saw a very fast increase of disasters happening in the region, all across the region, all across the states that were impacted. And we often, if Appalachia gets shown in the media, it's often shown in a negative light. And so we wanted to take Worthy Ground as a way to capture what people are experiencing as they recover from disaster throughout the community, and highlight how investment is working, how commitment to the region is working, and how, you know, resources are needed in the community. But the community is very much alive and passionate and caring. And so this is really a way for us to shine a light on the long-term recovery that exists within Appalachia.
And let's point out, this is your place. You have been a resident of the Appalachian region of Kentucky since birth.
Yeah. I grew up here in East Kentucky. I've lived in East Tennessee, went to school in East Tennessee, lived in Western North Carolina for a bit, but the majority of my life has been living in the coal camp of Letcher County, Kentucky.
Take us back to the floods of 2022. The last figures I looked at indicated that 45 people died in that disaster. Give us an idea of what it was like living in that kind of environment before, during, and after.
Before the flood ever happened, I had spent years doing mutual aid disaster relief for things like the West Liberty tornadoes, the Gatlinburg fires. I've just always, like, if I see a community near me in need, I feel the need to step in and help. And so I had seen disaster from the helping, like from the side of being a helper. It had rained for a week and we knew that it might flood. And like, we live in the valleys. I lived on a creek. The house I was renting and was in the process of selling, moving out of and buying my first home. We knew that we might flood. And what we expected was our creeks to rise and flood into yards and maybe some downtowns the way they have traditionally. But a meteorologist once described it to me as what happened was that there was so much saturation in the ground and the lakes and the rivers that this flood basically flooded the water. It flooded the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that night I had went to sleep. I had finally fell asleep and was just feeling like overwhelmed about the process of buying a new home, It had been raining for a week straight. I was just like feeling really drained. And at 2:30 in the morning, my phone rang. Well, my phone alarms went off, but they went off in Spanish. And it was an alert, but I couldn't read what the alert was. And then my mom, who lived very near to me at the time, called and said, you know, it's flooding. Is it flooding at your house? And I was like, well, I don't know. I can't see the backyard, which is where the creek was. And I was like, you know, if it's going to flood, it's going to flood the backyard. And I said, I can't see it from up here. And she said, well, look outside. And so I looked out, and I lived on the main highway in a coal camp house across from the main post office. And it never floods there. Like, that's unheard of. And when I looked out the window, there was just a river of water going down our main highway. And so I went to my staircase to go shut off my heat pump. And when I went to the top of my staircase, shoes went floating by. And there was water in my house. And I was just shell-shocked, maybe is the way to say it. Like, just numb. And I had I had my five-year-old with me upstairs. And so we rode out. It happened in basically two waves, the flood did that night. So we rode out the first series of the storm. I had called my sister in East Tennessee and was like asking her to pray for us and telling her, like, there's water in my house. And I just was in shock. And she said I was like eerily calm when I called. And as I'm on the phone with her, all cell service was cut. We lost all cell phone service, all internet. So suddenly we were in a house with water and no way to call out. As the water started to recede, neighbors and at the time our local sheriff were going door to door because he lived in our community. And they shined a flashlight in my window. And so I went to the window and he said, I'm getting calls from all over the county, people saying they're drowning. I can't get to them. There's another storm coming. You need to evacuate if there's water in your house. And so around 3:30 in the morning, I grabbed my crying five-year-old with nothing on but his t-shirt and pajamas and no shoes. And we were evacuated from our home across the water and started walking towards where my parents live because they were on a hill a little bit further out of flood zone. And it was just very surreal. Like and as a media maker, I wanted to document. Like I had this like desire. I knew this was historical for us. But as a mother, I couldn't process what was happening. The second wave came later that morning, and that one was worse. And I was sitting on my dad's porch watching it flood the holler he lives in, my parents live in. And I said, was this as bad as it was earlier? And he said, this is 10 times worse. And so when that storm came through, it flooded my home that we had evacuated from again with around 2 to 3 feet of water. My neighbor was actually trapped in his home and having to sit on furniture to keep from being electrocuted because the electricity didn't shut off. But the next morning when everything, when the light came back out and the rain stopped for a little bit, we realized we were completely cut off from the world. We had no phones, no internet. Our main bridge in and out of our community had been completely demolished. Our grocery stores flooded. In the course of one night, I lost my home, my church, the place I worked, and the school my son was about to start kindergarten in the next week. And they were all four in different towns. And when we did get service, we were like, my family, my sisters who live away from here were posting us on like missing, like creating lists of like, we can't get a hold of our family. The last we heard was water is in their house. And it's just really surreal to know you've been on like a missing persons list. I was very blessed in that I had bought a new home and it had survived the flood. I lost most of what I would have put in that home, which was a huge setback. And I would cry over that and I would cry over the personal belongings I lost. But then I would feel guilty because at least I had somewhere to go. And so many of my neighbors did not.
But this was not your first experience with high water.
I grew up in a holler, same community. We'd had a big storm. But at that point, they were surface mining in the holler where I live up on the mountain. And the coal company had built a silt pond, which is where they wash the coal on site in order to like save money. And it was a earth-made dam, like just dirt, mud that houses this water to wash the coal in. And a big storm had come through that summer, and the dam broke, and it washed down the hillside and into the creeks and rivers, and I had to evacuate then, and I saw neighbors lose their homes then. Someone asked me once if one was worse than the other, and I said both were traumatizing, but in one I was a child and I could shake it, and the other I was a mother and terrified for my child, and that was much scarier.
When you drive around Eastern Kentucky today, a few years after the 2022 flooding, what do you see that is most uplifting to you?
The amount of work our community and our local people have done to recover is truly incredible. Downtown Neon, Kentucky in particular, Neon was the most devastated downtown in our county for sure. Businesses had water 7 to 8 feet high inside of them. And Neon is a small, declining town anyway. And I really thought Neon will never recover. And this Christmas, I went to the Christmas parade, and, you know, they've rebuilt stages and they've rebuilt sidewalks, and community churches have gathered to do beautification projects like flower boxes, and places were donating to set up and give out free hot chocolate to kids. And it was just this really beautiful moment of like, the recovery is hard, but people put in the work and care, and they were tired of having to be resilient, but we are resilient. People are, you know, they're rebuilding our library system right now, and there's, you know, how do we build floodgates on doors? How do we lift the floors higher out of the flood zone? People are being really innovative in this recovery and using the resources they have and the lessons they learned to better our infrastructure.
And I'm assuming since you've been a lifelong resident of that region, you knew some of those 45 people who perished in those floods.
I knew of a couple, but in Letcher County, we were fortunate we did not lose more. I did have several friends who were stranded on hillsides, on tops of homes, but in Letcher County, we lost two for sure. But there were really horrific stories of entire families of children being swept away in Knott County out of the arms of their parents. When you live in a small region like this, you might not know someone directly, but we are just all so close-knit and tight-knit, and we grieved. We grieved really heavy and for all of our region. Four counties were just really, truly devastated in one night.
What was the effect of that trauma on your child?
I, at first, thought we were handling it really well, and maybe it's because I was still running on adrenaline myself. But he started kindergarten. They didn't get to return until October that year. So he didn't start kindergarten until October. And the first half of the year, the first semester, they had to share a school with a local middle school. And he did okay. He did okay. The next semester when they went back, they went to their school that had been flooded and rebuilt. And there were still signs of rebuilding inside of it. And signs of, you know, clearly something happened here. And we had a really rainy winter. And so when I would go to drop him off, and he'd been in preschool and daycare, he wasn't scared of school. But when I would go to drop him off that semester, if it was raining, he would cling to me and cry. And they would have to pull him off of me to get him in the doors. And then one night in our home, our new home, we had a plumbing issue, and you know, we bought an older home, and so the plumbing had backed up into the house, and he started screaming, it's flooding, and then he went into his bedroom, and he started crying and saying he threw up, and it was in that moment that I was like, oh, he is, like, we have trauma, like, mm-hmm. We haven't slowed down, but we have trauma.
Yes.
And so he started therapy not long after that to really work through separation anxiety, that, you know, if something were to happen, I would come to him immediately. There was a great program that came through our region the next summer called Camp Noah, which unfortunately has stopped its programming, but they would travel into communities post-disaster and work with children who survived the trauma to learn how to cope with disasters. And so we implemented things from that camp, like building disaster distraction boxes. So, like, if a storm is going to hit, we have a box always on hand with fidget spinners, flashlights, a snack, some card games. and we can make writing out of, you know, we have had tornado warnings since then, and we can put it in the hallway and just try to make a fun game out of it to keep him from getting so scared and worried that he can't handle it.
Well, tell me a bit more about your documentary film work and where people can find it.
Yeah, thank you. So the project I'm working on now is really, you know, the first few stories have been documenting my personal story in my community. But, you know, with Hurricane Helene coming through North Carolina, East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, we saw the need to talk about disaster recovery across the region and to learn from each other. And so the work I'm doing now with that is you can go to worthyground.org and see the media and the stories as they come out. We're, you know, it's very much in its infancy. It's still very new, under a year old. And so the media is coming as quickly as possible. But I have great interviews coming up with folks who have done amazing work in Damascus, Virginia, Big Stone Gap, Virginia, talking about their recovery post-Helene. So you can find us on there or find us on most social media, TikTok, Instagram at Worthy Ground and Facebook at Worthy Ground Project. And then also I produced films with Apple Shop that you can find on appleshop.org or their YouTube Apple Shop. And one of those was in the year after the flood, I worked with a group of young filmmakers and was the executive producer of a film called All Is Not Lost, which is specifically about the 2022 floods, in which we wanted to essentially make a love letter to our community about that year of recovery and what we learned together and how we have seen people really come together and look after each other as neighbors post-disaster.
Willa Johnson, thank you so much for sharing your story of resilience in Eastern Kentucky.
Thank you so much.
Our guest has been Willa Johnson, a documentary filmmaker in Eastern Kentucky and a survivor of the 2022 floods that devastated the region. Willa Johnson is a 2025 graduate of East Tennessee State University. For Vital Voices, I'm Fred Sausman.